sing loud, and when we shout, it sounds like thunder, heralding the underdog, the liars and the thieves. 'Cause we're just like you, imperfect. We take our shots, we're bruised but not abandoned. No, never.
Kill Rock Podcast. This is episode 15. Today we have Steve from Wolves at the Gate, the guitar player and lead clean vocalist for that amazing band, who have released their sophomore album off Solid State Records called 5x5. You might have seen it around. It's that one album where the album title is just a V, a little X, and a big V. So, 5x5. We'll get to that interview in just one moment, but first, I want to let you guys know, there's a way you could help support the Kill Rock Podcast without paying a cent, without pulling out your wallet, getting your credit card, and saying, "Hey, Kill Rock, take my money." There's a way you could do that. You could support us, and you could support us for free. This is what you do. You listen to the podcast, you download it, and you subscribe. You could share it with your friends. Also, rating and review. Rating and review is really important to the podcast world. Give us as many stars as you think we deserve. Let us know what we're doing right. Let us know what we're doing wrong. And we love your opinion. We want to hear from you. You could also share with us your feelings about the Kill Rock Podcast by emailing us. Email us at kill.rock.podcast@gmail.com. You could also email me personally, keith@killrockpodcast.com. That's keith@killrockpodcast.com. And if you don't know how to spell Keith, it's K-E-I-T-H. I've gotten a lot of K-I-E-T-H my whole life. It's K-E-I-T-H. Anyway, that's how you can help support the podcast. Also, if you're in a band, if you're in an independent band and you want to get your music on the air, you could email us also, kill.rock.podcast@gmail.com. And again, keith@killrockpodcast.com. Send us your music. Send us links to your Facebook, to your websites, to your bios. Let us know how we can help you. We'll play your music on the air, and we'll even schedule an interview for you guys for a future episode of the Kill Rock Podcast. So do it. Email us. Let us know where you're at. Let us know who you are. I want to give a big thanks to the two people that downloaded the Kill Rock Podcast out in the UK, as well as in France. Wichita, Kansas, you guys are a monster. And you know what? I'm not going to talk any garbage to anybody in Kansas, even though as of right now, the Angels are about an hour away from getting swept out of the playoffs. Now, whether that happens, we won't know. We don't know until, you know, after this podcast is recorded. But as of right now, we're down two games and most likely we'll maybe be out by tomorrow. So no garbage talking to the Kansas people if they don't garbage talk to me. I want to thank you guys for downloading the podcast as well. And in Baltimore, and in Detroit, and in Toledo, Ohio, and in Los Angeles, California, Anaheim, California, in Montreal, Canada, as well as Calgary, Alberta, Canada. And you know what? We haven't even started talking about hockey yet. Hockey's starting up in a few days, and I am so stoked. So stoked. The Anaheim Ducks are going to be back, and they're going to be back with a vengeance. That is my guarantee. Enough about sports. Enough about how you can support the podcast, even though you supporting the podcast is a big deal. Let's get to Wolves at the Gate. Now, we were set to interview Fit for a King and Gideon, and yes, we did get those interviews, and yes, those interviews will be released next Monday here on the Kill Rock Podcast. There will be separate episodes to help promote the bands on their new albums. We have Fit for a King, who have Slaves to Nothing coming out on October 14th, as well as Gideon releasing Calloused. Now, these bands are all on the same tour together. It's Being as an Ocean, it's Fit for a King, Gideon, Wolves at the Gate, as well as this band Capsize, who they just released their debut album. And I'm going to tell you, it was an adventure to a certain extent, because I knew at the time I had Fit for a King scheduled and I had Gideon scheduled, but I also had Dynasty scheduled. However, I text Nick, who he also is the drummer for Hearts Like Lions, and you've guys heard on the first episode of the Kill Rock podcast, but he plays drums for Dynasty, and I texted him saying, like, hey, like, when can we, you know, talk? When are you guys available? Whatever. And he texted me back saying, oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to, you know, let you know that we got off the show. So I was like, okay. So I guess I'm doing two bands, Fit for a King and Gideon, which is great. I have no problem with that. I love great bands. I really wanted to get a third band, though. And actually, I wanted to get a fourth band. I wanted to try to interview every band. But what ended up happening was, I interviewed Ryan Kirby from Fit for a King. Amazing dude, amazing band. And I started walking around the corner to put my things away because I knew it was going to be a while until I could interview Gideon. And I ran into an old friend, Mark Lewis. If you guys are on the road and you see probably Phineas or Impending Doom, you'll most likely see Mark Lewis on tour with them. He's a little scrawny guy with a big beard. And he's an amazing dude. If there's muffins, he'll give you a muffin. Anyway, I was talking to him, and he was talking to a guy sitting on the stairs, and I could only assume he was in a band. I knew he wasn't in Wolves at the Gate, but he was just sitting there, and got chatting with him. Later, I found out his name's Abishaw. He plays drums for the Overseer, and he was playing drums with Wolves at the Gate, in which Wolves at the Gate's van was right behind me. Didn't even realize there was the van even behind me. Turn around, there was Steve. I got to meet him, and we started talking, and obviously the conversation started going towards Thrice, and friendships were made. And I said, hey, I would love to get you on the show. He said, sure. So we got Steve from Wolves at the Gate on the show. That was kind of a long story short, but it was kind of a long story. Anyways, we'll get to Steve in just one moment. But before we get to the interview, we're going to play a song off 5x5. There is a music video for this song on YouTube, and go check that out. This is Release by Wolves at the Gate here on the hashtag KRP.
Yeah!
Welcome back to the Kill Rock Podcast. Today, we are out in Canoga Park at the Cobalt Cafe with Steve from Wolves at the Gate. How you doing, Steve?
Doing well, man.
5x5 came out not too long ago. How stoked are you on this album?
I love the record. There have been people that have enjoyed it as well, so we're glad to see that our old fans have enjoyed it and new fans enjoy it as well. So, yeah, it's just been a cool progression of the band, and it felt very natural.
How much has the difference been between the reception of Captors and 5x5?
I think it's just been the same, but just in a higher increment. Captors was our first full-length release, and then naturally there's just a progression that'll come with hopefully, you know, more people being interested in your band as they're anticipating a new record and after they like the first one. So I think that a lot of our fans were happy with the next record we put out, which was 5x5, and new fans were like, all right, maybe I'll give this band a chance. And that's been good for us as well. So, yeah.
Now, this is your second Solid State album. How do you guys enjoy being signed to a label? Because I know you guys released EP DIY. Basically, what's the difference between being a signed band? And also, is it more enjoyable? Is it less enjoyable? How do you guys feel about it?
Being signed to a record label has been a good experience for us. We like the people that we work with, and they like us. And it's been our A&R, Adam Scatula, is definitely a friend. He's definitely a guy that I'd hang out with. I think we sometimes have to remember that we're, like, he works for a label and I'm in a band. So that's really cool, and it's kind of a rare thing this day and age. So we enjoy it. I mean, the difference is we're just getting more help, and the label's helping us have access to things we didn't quite have access to before. And for them, you know, they just have a band that they like and enjoy and believe in. And I don't know, it's been profitable on both ends for both us and the label. So we enjoy it.
When you guys are writing 5x5, did you guys go through a different writing process? Because correct me if I'm wrong, there was a few member changes?
Yeah, we lost our longtime lead guitarist, Jeremy Steckel, and the drummer we had that played on Captors, he also quit as well. They both quit around the same time because Jeremy had just gotten married, and Ben had been married and just realized touring wasn't for him. And so we actually didn't get another guitarist because I've predominantly written the large majority of the music. So not much change in that department. And it wasn't too big of a difference for writing in that sense. Dylan, our new drummer, he was helpful in the writing process as well. He had good ideas. And so not much really changed. I think just mentality of how I went about writing songs after doing 2 years of touring on Captors, learning a lot from other bands and kind of seeing what I enjoy playing live and what I like to hear playing live, what feels good to play on the guitar, what feels good singing-wise and sounds good. And so I kind of adopted a lot of the things that I enjoyed about the live show and things that I actually did live, vocally especially, that I wanted to bring to the record. So,
did you write all the vocals for Captors?
Yes.
I kind of understand what you're saying, because Captors, it's like a cohesive album, but it has different, you know, kind of sequences. But 5x5 seems to be more cohesive. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Captors was...
How long did it take you to write Captors?
Well, I started writing Captors pretty much after we got signed to the label. And I'd been writing songs for a while. I probably wrote 25 songs that I thought would go on the record and ended up just scrapping a bunch of them. And the ones that are on the record are the ones that we wanted to do. And so, everyone spends a long time writing their first record, and it's anticipated. And so I think there was a lot less, you kind of get over-invested in, I think. Right. And I think there are things that I overthought, overplayed, you learn from your mistakes and you learn from things you're looking at in retrospect, man, I wish I didn't do that, or I wish I didn't do this. But people are like, what? The album's great, you know? So people are always going to disagree with you. And now that 5x5's out, it's like, I love the record. I'm just like, I know we can do better. I know we can write better songs. And but I love the record. I love Captors. So it's just, I love it for what it is and the time that I wrote it. And So it's that simple, I guess.
Do you feel a competitiveness when you're writing lyrics, if not to beat someone else, but to beat yourself?
Writing lyrics?
Lyrics, music, anything.
I'd say more so music. I just want to write a better song than I did before. It's so funny, like, it's sometimes painful listening to old stuff. Not stuff from, like, Captors, but, you know, or just maybe certain parts that are just like, man, what was I thinking? You know, and people would be like, well, that's my favorite part. And I was like, well, all right, good. That's awesome for you. You know, so I think I do get a little competitive with myself just because I want to write great songs. And one of my favorite lyrics has nothing to do with anything I like personally believe, but it's from an Against Me song that says, we'll never be the bands that we want to hear. Yeah, we'll never be the bands that we want to hear.
Yeah.
You'll always be like, man, this will never be as good as this record that I love or this record. And kids are like, what? You're stupid. Your songs are way better. And you just want to like leave and walk away. And so, yeah, there's just always like I think it's a good to constantly a little dissatisfied with, or discontent with just doing the same thing over and over. So
it's probably why a lot of songwriters put down the pen after 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Lyrically, what do you like to base your songs off of?
Concept-wise. Conceptually, we want to communicate the greatest thing known to man, which is God's love. God's love for sinners. And I am a sinner. I qualify in that category. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're not trying to... we don't think that we're extraordinary because we communicate God's love. People have been doing that for, you know, thousands of years. And his love is worth being sung about over and over and over again. And it's inexhaustible to think that we could write, you know, two records and God's love has been covered. We covered it. Nobody needs to hear about that anymore. I just think that's crazy. And the fact is that there's plenty of people who are living outside of God's love and they live under God's wrath. And I don't desire that for anyone because I don't deserve God's grace. I don't deserve his love, but it's he, in his grace and his mercy, has shown me his love, and I would love for others to see and worship the God that's worthy to be worshiped. So that is the content of all our songs, and we're not ashamed of it. And some people think it's small or close-minded, but they're entitled to that opinion. I don't think it is small at all to sing about God who runs the show. I don't think that's small at all. So
do you ever get any because I'm sure you guys have toured with I guess quote-unquote secular bands, do you get any backlash, you know, playing with them? Or do you think most bands nowadays are more open-minded towards other people's beliefs?
People don't change. People have been the same since Adam and Eve. There's gonna be people who aren't bothered by it, and there's gonna be people who are antagonistic towards it. No one in this day and age is more tolerable towards Christianity or less, I think. So we've run into bands that are just like, okay, it's what you believe. That's fine. We've run into other bands that are really nice and are curious. They want to know more. And other bands who just hate our guts. And, you know, that doesn't make me cry into my pillow at night, you know, once we meet a band like that. But it does... It burdens my heart because I know that it's not me that they hate or me that they're angered by. It's towards God, and they hate him, and that's what hurts really, is just to see somebody hating the one who is willing to offer them an abundant love and an incredible mercy. So it's a strange thing, but it was a shock. Like, you know, on our first tour, when we run into a band that just hated our guts, and then eventually we ended up getting along, which was awesome. But
because people are people anyway, no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what. And somebody's coming in with a preconceived notion of who we are, what we were, you know, and it changes, and sometimes it doesn't. So I don't have the power to change somebody's mind, and I'm not gonna try and do that. I'm not gonna try and force anything down anyone's throat, because I don't have the power to make anybody receive mercy. So it's not my aim. My aim is just to be someone who's communicating that truth. And if you don't like that I'm communicating it, it's like, thankfully I live in a country where I can do that. And so it's like, what is it? I think it's Patrick Henry who said, my right to swing my fist stops at the other man's nose. So it's like, I'm not infringing upon your rights, and so in this country I'm able to do that, and so I'll do that as long as I'm able to.
It's interesting. We haven't really touched up on the subject other than maybe a few jokes, but we have the whole Tim Lemnisis thing going on, and the whole interview he did with Ryan Downey for AP. And I'm apparently you've probably been asked this already.
Yeah.
How do you feel about what Tim had to say about the bands that are supposedly going out being Christian bands and not living it? Or
yeah, he's completely right. And you know what? Somebody could spend a month with me and call me a hypocrite because I fail too. I fail to live up to the righteousness of God, and thankfully my salvation is not based upon that. But there are people who, and that's the difference between a real believer and somebody who really isn't a Christian, is that somebody who thinks that their good deeds and the way that they live their life makes them acceptable before God is completely wrong. And that's why so many people just fall into serious hypocrisy, because they don't, they're missing the true purpose of the gospel. And so, yeah, he's completely right. There's lots of bands that are doing it for the wrong purposes. They may have started with good ones and they've slowly gone by the wayside. And, you know, you can be paranoid and wonder which band is which, but I think it's pretty easy to figure out. It's not that hard. And so I would just tell kids, don't buy some band that says they're Christian. Like, if you are a Christian and you know what the Bible says about what marks a true believer, look at their lyrics, look at their lives. And if you do not see something that's undeniable, then you see something that is deniable. You can say, maybe you're not a Christian because I don't see any sort of fruit in your life. But I'm not the judge and jury on that either. Based off of what we know in the Bible, there's some clear indicators of what a true Christian looks like. And so I would just tell people to stop being ignorant and stop just assuming a band is Christian, or because you like their music, making them seem Christian so that your parents won't be mad at you. It's all sorts of stupid things, because people also make it hard for bands too, that they'll say, oh, you're a Christian band, you're my biggest influence, and then they'll feel so responsible and they're like, I'm not really a Christian, and then they'll try and play, you know, play the game, and then they'll fall. And don't put your hope and your trust in any band. You know, in the book of Hebrews talks about this. It's just talks about how the mark of a true believer is somebody who endures. And you know, it's very easy to be really zealous for a short while, and if it doesn't endure, then it was never real. Because what kind of savior is God if he is not able to keep somebody? If he's not able to keep them, if he saves somebody, he saves them. You know, it's not like you save them and then put them back on the train tracks to get hit again. It doesn't work like that. And so, yeah, it's just kids are usually just looking for the wrong thing. They're looking for an idol. When it's like, you have the God of the universe who's willing to offer mercy and love to you, and you're trying to find your hope in a metal singer. It's like, that's not the singer's fault. It's the people. The people are just as guilty as the hypocrites too. They're hypocrites themselves because they're believing hypocrites. So it's like, you followed that person for so long and you didn't see any fault in what they were doing because you didn't really care. You just liked their music. So you can't also crucify somebody else because of that reason. So it goes both ways.
Do you believe theoretically there's such thing as a Christian band?
It's a loaded question because it depends on how you take it. I mean, there's lots of bands that are like, we're not a Christian band, but we're Christian people. I could say that, but somebody's like, well, you guys are all Christians and all of your songs are about Christ, so you're a Christian band. So it depends on how you take it. I would never say that. We're not ashamed to be identified with Christ because we're all believers and our songs are about Christ. And so if somebody wants to say you're a Christian band, sure. But at the end of the day, music doesn't sound like religion. It doesn't sound like anything. Somebody could take all of our songs and make them all about something completely different, and it's no longer Christian music. So it has nothing to do with the sound or who's playing the guitar or not. It has everything to do with what is the purpose of the songs and where have the lyrics come from, the heart of a believer or the heart of an unbeliever. So, yeah.
I get that. Because, I mean, you go into churches and what's the worship style nowadays? It's like a Mumford and Sons, and we all basically base all of our beliefs and or we write our beliefs into a secular genre.
Yeah, or just music.
Yeah.
It's just music. You know, like you take I don't even want to name a band, but you just take a band that doesn't claim to be a Christian band, take their music and put Christian words over it, you know, words that are about Christ and his salvation, and it doesn't matter, none of the music's changed, it's just the content. And so there's no Christian or secular music in regards to the musicality.
Who's the best band of all time?
Thrice.
Yes! Yes!
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna try and pretend to be pensive and think about it. I know who my favorite band is, so. Yeah.
Did we just become best friends?
Yeah, I think we did. Yeah, you and thousands others. So.
Don't say that.
There's only two of us. Yeah, that's true.
What's your favorite album?
Now that's a difficult one. Yeah, I guess if I had to. Major Minor is their newest release, and every song is just great in its own. But VC was the record that just, like, clinched me. I got into them, Illusion of Safety. Artist Nameless was great. But VC, when I heard that, I was like, whoa, these guys are a lot more. Yeah, it got goosebumps. Yeah, that record, they did all sorts of cool stuff. And I was like, man, this is all one record, and you guys fit all these really cool things into one album.
I remember, because I like you, I got into them around Illusion of Safety, but it was after, like, I spent my days, like, doing, like, music theory and, like, taking class for that. I'm like, dude, this is not already an ambulance. There's time signature changes in three quarters of the album. Mm-hmm. And you don't even, honestly, the average listener can't even tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they know how to write songs, and sadly, that's just something that's drastically missing in the genre today. It's about... how do we get to this part? That's really the question. And I'd like to think I'm a songwriter, but maybe if good bands are listening to the podcast, they disagree. But that's what I want to do, is I want to write songs. I don't want to write something that people are like, oh, that part's awesome, and they want to fast forward to it, or they just can't wait for that part, you know? You want to hear the whole song in its entirety and enjoy the content of it and everything. So you want to take the listener on a journey, and... Thrice, they did it very well, and so that's why I like them.
Well, they did it on, I guess, 7, maybe 8 albums.
Yeah, they're not done. Everybody knows they're not done, so.
Well, Dustin's back down in Orange County, so.
Yeah, there's murmurings in the land. I sensed it when we drove into California. I could feel it in my bones.
We just got to get Eddie away from Angels and Airwaves.
Hopefully that's not too hard.
So, Steve, any last things you want to say regarding 5x5 as well as this tour you're on? We haven't even talked about this tour. Being as an Ocean, Fit for a King, Wolves at the Gate, Gideon, and then Capsize, yeah. You have a few more weeks. Anything you want to say about that?
Come to a show. Don't complain that we didn't come to your city. Everyone's always like, why didn't you come to this city? I'm like, we just played it 3 days ago. Why didn't you come? That's like one of... It's not too much that bothers me. That is definitely one of my pet peeves on Facebook. Your kids are like, why don't you ever come to this city? And I was like, why don't you ever come to our shows? We play there all the time. So pay attention. Come to a show. Don't listen to bad music.
And that was Steve, Wolves at the Gate. And this is the Kill Rock Podcast. And with that, we want to thank Steve for coming on to the Kill Rock Podcast. It was a super sporadic, spontaneous... last-minute interview, and we're so glad that we got it. It was such a fun time being able to talk with him and hear how, you know, the Wolves at the Gate has been progressing since Captors. And what makes it even better is that, you know, he's a big fan of Thrice. That makes things better all the time. Anyway, if you guys listen to 5x5, I think one thing that Steve talks about, and I talked to Nick about it after their set, Nick, the lead screamer, talking about how Wolves at the Gate writes their songs, and that they don't just write parts. Like, everything is based on the idea of writing a song. And I agree with Steve that that's one thing that's missing in music these days. People are so gung-ho about their parts, like parts of a song, that they don't even think about, you know, what am I going to do with the rest of the song? How can I make a verse cohesive with a chorus? And how can I make another verse, you know, cohesive with the first two parts? You know, how can I write lyrics that tell a story and not just write sporadic lyrics that are about nothing? And I think that's one great thing that Wolves at the Gate has going for them, is that they're not focusing on parts, they're focusing on songs. And if you listen to 5x5, it is a cohesive album. It goes from beginning to end. You can't, I mean, I guess if you pick a favorite song that, yeah, you're going to want to listen to that song, but you could listen from beginning to end and not, it just, it makes sense. Like, the album makes sense from beginning to end. And that's how every Thrice album was, at least for me. It was hard just to pick and choose what song I want to listen to. I would just want to listen from beginning to end. And that's what Wolves at the Gate has going for them. And we're going to talk about songwriting on Wednesday, because on Album Review Wednesday, this Wednesday, the debut episode of Album Review Wednesday, that's what we're going to be doing. Album Review Wednesday, it's the debut episode. Last week here on the Kill Rock Podcast, we had Jordan Sandoval come on the show, and we talked Sleepwave on the regular show. But Wednesday is the first day of Album Review Wednesday. It's the debut episode of Album Review Wednesday. This week, on the debut episode, we have Nathan Viscara, a good friend of mine. Actually, his cousin was the drummer of my old band, The Perosia. And we are going to talk about Emma Rosa, their newest album, Versus, off of Rise Records. And we're going to talk about songwriting. Because if you know Emma Rosa from before with Johnny Craig, you would, I mean, unless you're a super hardcore fan of Emma Rosa, which I've only met a few, a lot of people would agree with me that a lot of their songs aren't really cohesive units at all. But if you're going to listen to Versus this week, listen to it Monday and Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, you could see what me and Nathan Viscara think of it. And then you could email us at kill.rock.podcast@gmail.com and let us know if you agree with what we think of it. So with that, we are going to end this week's episode of the Kill Rock Podcast. We want to thank Steve and Wolves at the Gate for letting us talk with them. We want to thank their manager, Corey Hodge, as well as everyone at the Cobalt Cafe. So with that, we're going to get to this last jam of this episode of the Kill Rock Podcast, episode 15, with Wolves at the Gate. This is Eye of Helix. From their album Isolations, this song is 24. Have a great day, and we'll see you on Wednesday for Album Review Wednesday, here on the Kill Rock Podcast.
Placing blame and procrastination. You've crossed that line for the last time.
What?